Shalom to all. In today's Afri Mishnah, we're going to be Masechta Arachin, Perek Tes Mishnah Vav, till the end of the Masechta, and on to the new Masechta, Masechta's Temura, all the way through Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. On to Mishnah Vav, Ir Shigagu Seh Chaymasa, a city that its roofs is its walls. That basically means that we have a city that it doesn't have a wall around it. It's just the entire outer perimeter of the city is made up of houses that are connected to each other, like attached homes, if you will, and that means that the outer wall of the house turns out to be the wall of the city, but it's not an official walled city. So either this, or V'she'enu Mekeves Chaymasa, if it didn't have a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, it doesn't have this din applied to it. Now, this is the basic description of homes in a walled city. Three courtyards, that each of these courtyards have two homes, that it had a wall around it from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. That's even if it doesn't have a wall now, it had to have a wall in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. And even though this is very small, that's literally six homes, three courtyards each with two homes, that's a minimum size of such a city. Kagan, for example, says the Mishnah, Katsra Hayashana Shel Tzipayrim, the old city of Katsra, which is a little bit out of the city called Tzipayri, or V'chakra Shel Gosh Chalav, the city called Chakra and Gosh Chalav, V'yoydfas Hayashana, and the old Yoydfas, and V'gamla, Ugdoid, V'chadid, V'aynai, all these little cities are examples. V'Yerushalayim, this is not referring to the Yerushalayim that we know of, because actually that's excluded from the din of a house being sold in a walled city, even though Yerushalayim was walled, it's excluded from that din, so it's referring to a different city that was called Yerushalayim. And V'chin Kiyotzebhen, also anything that's similar to these cities, even if they're very small, as long as they have a minimum of three chateres with two houses in each of them and they had a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, it has its din applied to it. So this Mishnah discusses, what about a house that's not in a walled city, and that's called in the Pasuk, Bate HaChatzerim, as Mishnah begins, houses in Chatzerim, which means it doesn't have a wall around it. So Neslehem Kaicha Yafesh HaBate HaRechayma VeKaicha Yafesh HaBesadai. Such a house, which really means the owner of the house, he gets a good kayach, he gets the strength of a house in the walled city, and also has the kayach of a field. What does that mean? Nigon Miyad, so it could be redeemed. It could be repurchased right away, and it also could be redeemed all 12 months after the sale, just like a house is. Now, it's also like a field, because it leaves the purchaser by yovel and also by a subtraction of money, like fields, as we had learned a couple of prakim ago, that if a person sells his se'achuza, it automatically comes back to him yovel time, and when he wants to buy it back, he subtracts from the original price that he had sold it for. Now, we clarify, what's a description of bati chatzerim? If we have two chatzeres that each have two houses in them, even though they were surrounded with a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, still, since it's not three chatzeres like we learned about in the previous mission, it's just two, this has the din of bate chatzerim. And then moving on to the last mission of the parak, we continue discussing this din of a house in a walled city, but now regards to Kayin, Levi, and Yisrael. And the reason why that's relevant is because we know that all Shvatim got a portion of the land, except for Shevet Levi, which is Kayhanim and Leviim. They didn't get an official portion. All they were was granted certain cities scattered throughout Eretz Yisrael. And we're going to see how their din differs from regular Yisrael. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. Yisrael sheyarsh avi imai Levi. If Yisrael inherited his grandfather, meaning the father of his mother, who was a Levi, einugel kaseder hazeh. He doesn't redeem like this. And actually, the Gemara explains that we have to add a word to the Mishnah. We read it as follows. Einugel ela kaseder hazeh. He only redeems it like this, which means this has a regular din of a house in a walled city, even though he's inheriting it from his grandfather, who's a Levi, who's generally excluded from his din, since he's Yisrael and he's in possession of it, and has the regular din of a house in a walled city. And v'chein Levi sharshas avi imei Yisrael, also a Levi, who inherited his mother's father, who was a Yisrael, einugel kaseder hazeh, he also keeps to all these dinim. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, ki batei ari halavim, and what do we learn from here? Ajei Levi uba ari halavim. The only way he would be excluded from this din of a house in a walled city is if he himself is a Levi, and we're discussing a house which is in the city of Levim. But in these cases that we just mentioned, only one of these things apply. Either he's not a Levi, or the house that we're talking about is not in the city of the Levim. Divrei Rabbi, this is Rabbi's opinion. However, Chachamim say, in Atvar Murim Ela Ba'ari Levim, this was only said in regards to a house which is in the city of Levim, but he doesn't have to be a Levi himself. Now, once we're on the topic of the cities of Levim, we continue discussing them, and it's important to understand the following. We learn, based off of the Pasuk, that there's an area outside the city of Levim, 2,000 Amos to be specific, that has to be divided into Sada and Migrash. Migrash means just an open area, which is left totally unplanted, uncultivated, and is there to beautify the city. And then the area of Sadeh is meant to plow and plant in, and they can cultivate crops and grow whatnot over there. So Mishnah tells us, Ein oisin Sadeh Migrash, v'loi Migrash Sadeh, v'loi Migrash Ir, v'loi Ir Migrash. When we're dealing with the cities of Levim, the area that's supposed to be the field, that can't be turned into Migrash, it can't be turned into open area, and the areas that's supposed to be open and unplanted, that can't be planted as a field, and also, the open area can't be turned into the city, you can't build houses there, and the city as well is not allowed to have areas of it destroyed. destroyed to be part of the open area. Now, Omer Blezer says, when is this said? Ba'ari Halavim, only in the cities of the Levim. Aval Ba'ari Yisrael, when we're talking about regular cities just inhabited by plain regular Yisraelim, Eisen saw the Megrash, the area of fields outside the city, could be turned just a plain empty area to beautify the city. V'loy Migrash Sadeh, but the open area is not to be turned into fields. And also Migrash Ir, the open area is allowed to be turned into the city. You could build more homes over there. V'loy Ir Migrash, but the city is not to be turned into an open area. Why? Kedish L'Echivus Ar Yisrael, so they don't destroy Jewish cities. You can't knock down homes just to have a nice open area. We want more people to be living in Eretz Yisrael, not fewer. And one more din, which is a difference between Yisraelim and Kahanim Leviim. HaKahanim Leviim, Marchem La'olam, V'gayalim La'olam. Kahanim Leviim, they can always sell their homes and fields, even if it's within 2 years of Yovel, and they can also always redeem. This is referring to redeeming a house that they sold, even after a year is up. It doesn't stay by the person who bought it. The Levi or Kohen could redeem that whenever he wants. And how do we know this? Shemar, the pasuk says, Geulas Olam Tiyel Leviim. The Leviim have a forever redemption. They always have this ability. They can redeem it. Now, Tamura means an exchange or a transfer. And this is based off a pasuk that tells us, Loyach Lefenu V'Loyamir Aysay Toiv Bera Rabbi Toiv Vim Hamir Yomir Behemov Behemov V'Haya Hu Smirasa Yiyah Kodesh. This is the Isser. The Torah tells us explicitly that one may not transfer the Kedusha from one animal onto another. So say, for example, a person took one of his cows, designated as a carbon, then he decided, you know what? I don't want to bring this one as a carbon. I want a different one. So he takes a chulin animal, plain old regular animal, and says, zu tumura zu, or uses some other similar lashon, attempting to transfer the Kedusha off of the first animal onto the second. So besides the fact that the pasuk tells us very clearly that he's not allowed to do it, nonetheless, in many situations, it does work. And actually, both of them end up being kadosh. The original one stays kadosh, and the second one becomes kadosh as well. And he might even get malchus for it. So here we're going to learn about all the details on the specifics. So Mishnah Aleph tells us, Hakol Mimirin, everyone is able to affect a temura, Echad Anashim Echad Nashim, whether it's a man or a woman. And right away the Mishnah tells us, Lo Shad Marshai L'Hamir, it's not that a person is allowed to do this, Elosh Im Hamir Mumar, but if he does try to affect this transfer, it works. As we had said, the Kedusha does go from animal A onto animal B, V'Soifik Asarabayim, and he's going to get malchus as well. More details, HaKehanim Mimir Shalohem, V'Yisrael Mimir Shalohem, Kehanim, they can affect a temura on their animals, and Yisraelim, they affect temura on their animals. However, in Akanim Mimirim, Loi B'Chatas, Loi B'Asham, Loi B'Bachar, a Kayin is not able to affect a temura with a carbon Chatas, Asham, or a Bachar. Now, Chatas and Asham is because even though they do get parts of these carbonos, since the entire animal is not theirs, it belongs to the Yisrael who's bringing it, it's not the Kayin, so he's not able to make a temura. And we're going to see about a Bachar in just a second. So, Amar B'Yechav Nuri tells us, Bechim B'nei Ma'in Mimir B'Bachar, why is the temura not able to be affected in a Bachar? So, Amar B'Kiva told him, Chatas V'Asham Atan Ola Kayin. Chatas and Asham are gift to the Kayin, not the entire animal, just parts of it. V'Bachar Matan Ola Kayin, and Bachar, firstborn male animal, is also a gift to a Kayin. Ma Chatas V'Asham Ein Mimir B'Bai, just like as we explained, Chatas and Asham, one is not able to affect a temura with them, Afa Bachar Lo Yimir Anu B'Bai. So, to Bachar, one is not able to affect a temura with it. So, Amar B'Yechav Nuri responded to him, Mali Einu Meimim Chatas V'Asham, She'ein Zachem Behem B'Chayayim. Mali is like an expression that means, what does this have to do with me? In other words, how can we compare the two? A chatas and asham, he's not able to affect a temura. That's because he doesn't have a schus in them when they're still alive. As we had said, the Yisrael brings the animal to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's only after it's shechted and some of its processing is done, only then the kohen gets certain parts of the animal. But talking about Bachar, are you going to say the same applies by Bachar? Shezachen by Bachayav. The kohen does get it when it's still alive. The animal is born, it's alive, it's then given to the kohen, and he brings it as a carbon. So it's totally different. Kiva told him, but Bahalikvar Nemrod already says in the pasuk, Bahayahu Usmurasa Yeah Kaidash, and it and its Tumura shall be Kaidash, and Hechan Kedusha Chala Alav, where's the original Kedusha Chal on it? Where does it take place? Bebes Abailim, that's in the house of the owners, Af Tumura Bebes Abailim. So to the Tumura has to take place in the house of the owners, but a Bachar is only once it's given to the Kayin, so therefore Tumura is not affected on a Bachar. Moving on to Mishnah Beis, Mamir Minha Bakar al Tsoin, Umina Tsoin al Bakar, Minha Kvasim al Izim, Umina Izim al Kvasim. One could affect a Tumura from one type of animal onto a different type, such as from cattle onto sheep, or from sheep onto cattle, from sheep onto goats, and from goats onto sheep. Furthermore, min hazcharim al anakevas, from males onto females, min hakevas al zcharim, from females onto males, min hatmimim al bali mumin, or bali mumin al tmimin, from an animal which is a tam, meaning it's whole and unblemished, onto an animal which has a blemish, and vice versa as well. And how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, lo yachlifanu v'lo yomer oisai, toiv bira oi ra betoiv. So the pasuk is clearly telling us, good for bad, or bad for good. Now we just clarify, ezu toiv bira, what does that mean? Good for bad, bali mumin shekadim hakdeshan as mumon, it has to be a bal mum, that it became kadosh before it developed this mum, which means it was a regular animal, he then designated it as a carbon, and only afterwards it developed a mum, so that's what we're talking about when we say that the mum could be affected. connected with a Baal Mum. Another day, the Mishnah says, Mimir Echa B'Shnaim, U'Shnaim B'Echad, he could do a transfer of one and two, which means he could take one animal of Chulin and transfer the Kedusha of two Kaddish animals onto it, and the flip side as well, two animals of Chulin for one animal with Kedusha. And that's even Echad B'Meya, U'Meya B'Echad, one Chulin animal of 100 of Hektish, or 100 of Chulin for one of Hektish, whereas Rav Shimon argues, and he says, In Mimir El Echad B'Echad, you can only do a Temura one for one. Shnemar, the Pasuk says, V'haya Hu U'Smura Sai, it and its Temura. Mahu Meyuchid, just like when we say it, it's talking about one carbon, Av Temura Sai Meyuchades, so too the Temura has to be an individual, just one, and not more than that. And the Mishnah says, Ein Mimirin Evarim Be'ubarin, V'lay Ubarim Be'evarim. No doing Temura, meaning it simply doesn't work. We're dealing with limbs and fetuses, or fetuses and limbs, which means the person takes a regular behemoth of Chulin, and he says that the limb of this behemoth should take on the Kedusha of the Ubar, of the fetus, the baby, which is in the stomach of the animal which is Kaddish, or he did it the other way around. He said the limb of the animal that's Kaddish should be transferred to the Ubar in the stomach of the Chulin animal. That doesn't work. And also, V'lay Varim V'Ubarim B'Shleimim, we can't do Temur with a Varim and Ubarim, even if it's coming from a Shalim. If he tries to transfer the Kedusha from the animal which is designated as the carbon onto a Varim or Ubarim of Chulin animal, that doesn't either work. And V'lay Shleimim Bahen, and not Shleimim with them, meaning if he tries to transfer the Kedusha of the Ubar of a Hektish animal or of a limb of a Hektish animal onto a full Chulin animal, that doesn't work. Now Rabbi Yossi says, Mimir Nevarim B'Shleimim, you could do a Temura of a Varim with Shleimim, V'lay Shleimim Be'Varim. Now Rabbi Yossi explains himself, because V'Aloy Mukdashin, with a regular animal that he wants to make Hektish, Ha'imer, if he says, Ragla Shalzu Ayla, the leg of this animal should be an Ayla. So the leg becomes Kaddish, and actually Kula Ayla, that spreads Kedusha to the rest of the animal as well. Afkashiyomer, Ragla Shalzu Tachazu, also when he says the leg of this Chulin animal should be instead of this entire Kaddish animal, take Kula Temura Tachtel, the entire animal becomes Temura in its place. However, we don't posit like Rabbi Yossi, that looks like the Tanakama. Now moving on to Mishnah Dalid, the next two Mishnayos are going to be discussing a number of topics that fit under the same category, or bring Temura among them. So number one, In HaMedoma Medameya El Lefi Cheshbin, Medoma is not Medameya except based off the Cheshbin. What's this referring to? So we know that when one part Truma falls into 100 parts Chulin, everything's batal. But if it falls into less than 100 parts Chulin, then this entire mixture is called Meduma and has to be treated as Truma. Now let's say some of this mixture falls into more Chulin. So we don't look at the original Truma that fell in the original Chulin mixture and say that we need to have 100 parts Chulin in the new mixture to be Mevatel, the original Truma that fell into the original mixture. We just do it based off of the Cheshbin, based off proportions. So say for example, one part Truma had fallen into 99 parts Chulin, and so everything's Meduma over here, and then one of the parts of that mixture fell into 99 parts of Chulin, wouldn't say that the new mixture is Meduma, because we just view it based off of the Cheshbin of how much Truma had fallen into the original mixture, and that means that this one piece that fell in from the original mixture, only 1/99th of it is considered Truma, and so therefore, of course, everything would be Batal. Another day, the following also has to do with Truma, this time in terms of a dough. Back in the day, they didn't use regular yeast, they actually took a piece from an old dough that had risen so much, it became very potent. That's called Sa'ar in the Lashon of the Mishnah and the Gemara. We would translate this perhaps as a sourdough yeast starter of some sorts. And we know that if Truma Sa'ar falls into a Chulin dough and causes it to rise, so the whole thing has a din of Truma now, because the Truma is so potent, that's what caused the whole Chulin dough to rise. However, let's say a piece of that dough now falls into another one. Is that new dough considered Truma or not? So it's the same thing, says the Mishnah. Ein ha-mechometz mechametz el fi cheshbin. That which became mechometz, the dough rose because of the Truma Sa'ar that fell inside, it's not going to be mechametz another dough, meaning it's not going to now cause another dough to be treated as Truma, except based off the cheshbin of how much Truma was in that little piece of the first dough that fell into the second one. And lastly, this din has to do with a mikvah. We know that a kosher mikvah is 40 saw of megashamim. We have to have 40 saw, which is a certain measurement of rainwater that falls into a hole or a pit or a bar, whatever it is, and that's considered a kosher mikvah. It can't be maim she'uvim. You can't draw water from the river. You can't turn on the water in your sink and fill up a bucket with it and make a mikvah like that. And we also know that if we do not have a full 40 saw mikvah of kosher mikvah water, and then 3 lugin of maim she'uvim, which is pasul water, falls inside, that pasuls the mikvah. However, says the Mishnah, in a maim she'uvim pasul misa mikvah el fi cheshbin, maim she'uvim is not going to pasul the water except for based off of the cheshbin of how many kalim were used, namely if 3 kalim or less were used to fill up this mikvah with maim she'uvim, so then it's pasul, because that means that each kli had at least one leg of water in it, as opposed to if there was more kalim, if there was, let's say, 4 or 5 or 6 or however many kalim, and that means that each kli had less than a leg of maim she'uvim, that's not going to pasul it. And we continue the topic that we had started yesterday in the previous Mishnah, Ein mechatos nasin mechatos. Mechatos doesn't become mechatos, elim matan efer, except if the ashes were placed. This is referring to the par haduma. We know that people who are tamei meis, they had touched a dead person or they were in the same room as a dead person, so they're this very high level of tuma. The only way they can become tahar is if they have the mechatos, the ashes of the paraduma, mixed with water sprinkled on them. And this is a whole process that's taught in Torah. We're not going to go into details now. Bottom line is the Mishnah is telling us that the mechatos doesn't become mechatos. It doesn't work to metire a person who's tamei, except if the ashes of the paraduma were placed on them, which means that first we have to fill up a jug with water and then we put the ashes on top. On to another din. This has to do with safek tuma. Let's say there's a kever, somebody's buried in a field, and then the field was plowed over. This field is called the Beis HaPras. There's a big chashash. There's suspicion that when the field was plowed, the bones of the person who were buried there were dragged all over the place. And anytime a person walks into this field, he might be stepping on the bone, and that is going to make him tamei meis. Now, for a regular person, that's not necessarily the biggest deal. For kohanim, though, it is, because kohanim are not allowed to become tamei meis, and we know that kohanim are not allowed to go into a Beis HaPras. So the Mishnah now tells us, ein Beis HaPras oise Beis HaPras. A Beis HaPras can't make another Beis HaPras, which means now if somebody goes into this field that was already plowed, and then he continues plowing it, and then he goes into another field that's next door, we don't say that the first Beis HaPras now turns the field next door into a Beis HaPras, because some of the dirt from the first one was dragged into the second one. We don't go that far, we don't say that. Another din, v'loy truma achar truma. One can't take truma after truma. This is referring to when we have two partners who own produce together. Partner number one, without permission or knowledge of partner two, goes in and separates truma, and then partner two goes in to separate truma. Neither of these trumas is valid, because by the fact that the second one went to take off truma after the first one did, that shows that he wasn't happy that the first one took off truma, and obviously the first one didn't want the second one taking off truma, and since they both jointly own this produce together, they both have to agree to the truma being taken off, so neither of their trumas is truma. Here we finally come to what's relevant to our Masechta, v'loy temura, I said temura, one temura can't make another one. If we have our Kaddish animal, and we transfer its Kedusha onto animal B, and then we try to make a temura from animal B onto animal C, that doesn't work. And lastly, v'loy havlat oisa temura, a child can't accomplish temura either, so we have an animal that's designated as a karbon, and it gave birth, obviously before it's shechted, so that baby animal has Kedusha, but it's not able to affect temura. However, Rabbi Yehudaimer, he says, havlat oisa temura, a child of Hektish could accomplish a temura. Now, Amru Loi, the Chum told him, Hektish oisa temura, only Hektish itself can make temura, v'loy havlat v'loy temura oisa temura, and not a child, and not a temura, they can't accomplish temura either, and this is based off of Joshua Pasuk. And now moving on to Mishnah Vav, continue to discuss temura. Ha'ifas ha'menachas einon oisin temura. Birds that are designated as karbanos and a karban mincha, which is just flour and oil, they can't affect a temura. You can't transfer the kedusha onto another bird or onto another mincha. It just simply doesn't work. Shaloi namar el behema, because the pasuk is only talking about an animal. The pasuk clearly tells us about an animal, so only an animal could affect temura. Another din, hatzibur vashotfin einon oisin temura. A karban sibur, that's a karban that's brought for the entire congregation of the yidden, and a karban that's owned by two partners, those also are not able to affect temura. Shenemar, because the pasuk says lo yamir oisai, and oisai is lashon yachid, that's lashon of individual. Yachid oisai temura, lo yitzibur lo yishotfin oisin temura. Only an individual could accomplish temura, not the tzibur or partners. Another din, karbonis bedek habayis ain't an oisin temura. A karbon, which really just means an animal that was designated for the bedek habayis. The bedek habayis is the Beis HaMikdash upkeep fund. You can basically donate anything to the Beis HaMikdash, and they're going to use that either for the Beis HaMikdash itself, or they're going to take it and sell it and use the money for the Beis HaMikdash. So if a person donated an animal to the Beis HaMikdash, even though it has a certain level of kedusha, it's not able to accomplish a temura because it's not on the level of a karbon. Now Rosh Hashim explains, v'haloya meiser b'chlal haya. Meiser, which means meiser behema, that's when a person takes all their brand new animals, counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and the 10th one is meiser behema, that's brought as a karbon. That's really part of a klal. That's really part of the generalization that all karbonos could affect temura. So v'lama yatza, why was it singled out? Why does the pasuk talk about meiser behema specifically? That's l'hakish elov, to make a hekish to it. We say that ma meiser karbon yachid, just like meiser is a karbon yachid, it's brought by an individual, yatza karbon of tzibur, that excludes a karbon of tzibur, that cannot affect temura. And also ma meiser karbon mizbeach, just like meiser is a karbon that's brought on a mizbeach, yatza karbon is bedek habayis, that excludes animals that were donated to the bedek habayis, those are not brought on a mizbeach, so those can't affect temura either. Now, in the last mission of the previous parak, we had learned that karbon of tzibur cannot affect temura. If we have a karbon that's supposed to be brought for the entire tzibur, for the entire congregation of Am Yisrael, we're not able to transfer its kedusha onto another animal, it just simply doesn't work. So now the Mishnah picks up with this theme. Yesh b'karbanos hayachid, ma she'en b'karbanos hatzibur, v'yesh b'karbanos hatzibur, ma she'en b'karbanos hayachid. There are certain things that apply to private karbanos that do not apply to public ones, and those that apply to public ones that don't apply to private ones. Here we discuss the first category. Shekarbanos hayachid oisin temura. A private karbon could affect temura. V'karbanos hatzibur ain't an oisin temura. A karbon for the tzibur can't affect the temura. Also, karbanos hayachid noigin mischarim nekevas. A private karbon could be either from males or females, depending on what karbon it's supposed to be. Depends if it's supposed to be a male or female. But v'karbanos tzibur ain't noigin el mischarim. A public karbon can only be a male. Also, karbanos hayachid chayav machriusun mechayis nischayim. A karbon yachid, one's responsibility for them and for their nechasim. Let's just explain the nechasim for a moment. We know that a lot of karbanos, we don't just bring the animal itself, we also have to bring nesachim, which means we have to bring a karban mincha along with it, and also some wine, which is poured on the mizbeach. So what the Mishnah just told us over here is that if we have a karban yachid, that the person missed the time that they were supposed to bring it. For example, a yoledes, a woman who gave birth, she has to bring a karban a certain time after she gave birth, or a mitzayra, he has to bring karban a certain time after it becomes tahar. If for whatever reason they miss that time, they still are responsible for it, the Mishnah says. They still have to bring that karban, even though they missed the time, and they would also have to bring the nesachim along with it. However, karbanos hatzibur, a karban tzibur, in chayavin loybach ruyusin loybach resneskein, a karban tzibur that's supposed to be brought at a certain time, one's not responsible for it, or it's nesachim. If it wasn't brought in the proper time, it doesn't need to be brought, and the nesachim don't need to be brought either. Aval, however, says the Mishnah, chayavin bachares neskein misha karba zavach, they are responsible for the nesachim once the karban was brought. Meaning, if the karban tzibur was brought in the proper time, but for whatever reason the nesachim were not brought along with it, then they are responsible sometime later to bring those nesachim. And we talk about the second one, yesh b'karbanos tzibur masha'in b'karbanos yachid. There's certain things that apply to karbanos tzibur that do not apply to karbanos yachid. What are those? Karbanos tzibur daichnas shabbos v'zatoma, v'karbanos yachid ainu daichnas shabbos v'leisatoma. Karbanos tzibur they're daichnas shabbos. If we have a karban tzibur that has to be brought on Shabbos, for example, the musaf of Shabbos or musaf of Rosh Chodesh, if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, so daichnas shabbos we bring that karban on Shabbos. And also tuma, if the majority of kaihanim are tamei, so the karban tzibur is going to be brought in a state of tuma. But karbanos yachid is not like that. If a person has to bring their own private karban, they can't bring it on Shabbos. And even if the kaihanim are tamei, they're not able to bring a karban yachid. However, Amar of Meir, Meir says this is not considered a difference between karbanos tzibur and yachid. What about the chavitin of the kohen gadol, which is a mincha that's brought by the kohen gadol every single day, and the par of Yom Kippur, which is also brought by the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur? Karban yachid, these are considered karbanos yachid. They're private karbanos. V'daychenes haShabbos v'zatoma, and they're daychen Shabbos and toma. El rather, this is not considered a difference between karban tzibur and karban yachid. What's the main focus over here? Shizman and kavua. They have a set time. They have a set time that they have to be brought. So if they're supposed to be brought on Shabbos, so then they're going to be brought on Shabbos, and that's even if it's a karban yachid. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with Perek Beis, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.